Hornblower and the Atropos, written by C.S. Forrester and read by Christian Rotzke.
Chapter 1. Having climbed up through the locks, the canal boat was now winding over the pleasant Cotswold country. Hornblower was bubbling with good spirits, on his way to take up a new command, seeing new sights, travelling in an entirely new way, at a moment when the entirely unpredictable English weather had decided to stage a clear, sunny day in the middle of December. This was a delightful way of travelling, despite the cold.
"Your pardon for a moment, ma'am," said Hornblower.
Maria, with the sleeping little Horatio in her arms, gave a sigh at her husband's restlessness and shifted her knees to allow him passage, and he rose under the restricted height of the first-class cabin and stepped out through the forward door into the open bow of the passage-boat. Here he could stand on his sea-chest and look round him. It was a queer craft, full 70 feet long, and, judging by eye as he looked aft, he would think hardly 5 feet in beam. The same proportions as had the crazy dugout canoes he'd seen in use in the West Indies. Her draught must be less than a foot. Well, that was clear as she tore along behind the cantering horses at a speed that must certainly be all of 8 knots. 9 miles an hour, he told himself hurriedly, for that was the way they measured speeds here inland. The passage boat was making her way from Gloucester to London along the Thames and Severn Canal. Going far more smoothly than the stagecoach, it was very nearly as fast, and decidedly cheaper at a penny a mile, even in the first class. He and Maria, with the child, were the only first-class passengers, and the boatman, when Hornblower had paid the fares, had cocked an eye at Maria's condition, and had said that by rights they ought to pay 2 children's fares instead of 1. Maria had snorted with disdain at such vulgarity, while the onlookers chuckled. Standing on his sea-chest, Hornblower could look over the canal banks, at the grey stone boundary walls and the grey stone farms. The rhythmic sound of the hooves of the cantering tow-horses accentuated the smoothness of the travel. The boat itself made hardly a sound as it slid along over the surface of the water. Hornblower noticed that the boatman had the trick of lifting the bows by a sudden acceleration onto the crest of the bow wave raised by her passage and retaining them there. This reduced turbulence in the canal to a minimum. It was only when he looked aft that he could see, far back, the reeds at the banks bowing and straightening again long after they'd gone by. It was this trick that made the fantastic speed possible. The cantering horses maintained their 9 miles an hour, being changed every half hour. There were 2 tow lines attached to timber heads at bow and stern. One boatman rode as postillion on the rear horse, controlling the lead horse with shouts and the cracking of his whip. In the stern sat the other boatman, surly and with one hand missing, and replaced by a hook. With the other, he held the tiller and steered the boat round the curves with a skill that Hornblower admired. A sudden ringing of the horse's hooves on stone warned Hornblower just in time. The horses were dashing without any slackening of pace under a low bridge, where the towpath, cramped between the water and the arch, gave them barely room to pass. The mounted boatman buried his face in his horse's mane to pass under. Hornblower had just time to leap down from his sea-chest and seat himself as the bridge hurried over him. Hornblower heard the helmsman's loud laugh at his momentary discomfiture.
"You learn to move fast in a canal boat, Captain," the steersman called to him from his place by the tiller. 2 dozen for the last man off the yard. None of that here on Cotswold, Captain, but a broken head for you if you don't look lively."
"Don't let that fellow be so rude to you, Horatio," said Maria from the cabin. "Can't you stop him?"
"Not so easy, dear," replied Hornblower. "It's he who's captain of this craft, and I'm only a passenger."
"Well, if you can't stop him, come in here where he can't be rude to you,"